Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. We're Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. We're going to have a good time in here today, and you're going to be glad you're here. Oh, listen, right now, download the study notes, all of the outlines of everything that's done and said on these broadcasts today at kcm.org/notes, and you'll be able to use them and study them and go back over the materials so that nothing is just left to memory. It's all right there in front of you. And of course, it's free download, so no expense, no excuse. Praise God. Father, we pray over this broadcast today, and we thank you, sir, for being present. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your will. We thank you for your ways. And I'm especially impressed today, sir, about your thoughts being higher than our thoughts and your ways higher than our ways. But we're not stuck down here. You have said, come on up and think my thoughts with me. Your word is your thoughts. And we thank you for it, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you join me in welcoming Dr. Caroline Leaf to this broadcast again today? Lord, praise God.
Thank you.
Amen.
As you were praying that, I thought back to what our life was like before our mind got renewed.
Oh, my, my.
That was the pits.
I don't even like to think about that. It was horrible.
Yeah, well, we didn't know any better, did
no.
we?
No.
Everything changed.
You mentioned, you referred to a scripture yesterday, and I was impressed of the Lord for a start there today. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Mm. Now, notice the word careful. Careful means filled with care.
Mm-hmm.
And the word translated careful or care from the Greek text means an overwhelming, engrossing mental affair. Mm. It means anxiety. In fact, other translations translate it that way. Don't be anxious for anything. Mm. Now, that's not a suggestion. Darling, if you're a Christian, that's a command. That's what you're supposed to do. Mm. Worry is not acceptable. It is not okay.
You can say, don't worry about anything.
That's right. That's what
because
he's saying.
Why is that? That's unbelief.
Well, it's fear-based.
It brings the wrong thing.
Yeah. It's fear-based. It's not love-based. It's not faith-based. Care and anxiety and worry, it's fear-dependent. If you're going to keep doing that, you have to stay afraid.
And it
you have to exercise fear. You have to talk fear.
It reduces the curse.
Yeah, and what does that do to your brain?
Destroys it.
Brain damage.
Exactly, totally. Neurodegeneration.
Now he doesn't just leave you there. He doesn't just leave you commanding you to do it. Listen to what he said. But in everything by prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And, now here's the promise, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely or born of love, whatsoever thing of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things.
Mm-hmm.
You have the power of God to command your mind what to think, what to say, and what to do.
We've got control.
Now, right now, say it. My mind is my mind.
My mind is my mind.
I think what I choose to think.
I think what I choose to think.
The devil or anybody else.
The devil or anybody else.
Cannot make me think what I don't want to think.
Cannot make me think what I don't want to think.
I choose to think the Word of God.
I choose to think the Word of God.
Glory to God. Amen. Now you're set up for brain healing.
Exactly. That's good.
And
that's exactly what everything is all about. It's all about thinking correctly according to what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. Follow the Word and things go well.
Renewed man.
And you said some things last time, and then what I've been reading since, that another thing that surprised me, how quickly the brain will recover.
Yes, isn't that wonderful?
You would think,
You mean physically?
Yes.
The physical brain itself. When it begins to be fed the right thoughts and so forth, and the chemistry controlled by the hypothalamus gland and all that, when it gets out of chaos, then all the chemicals begin to come at the right time and so forth. Now here I am, I know
you're
nothing.
You're telling the brain.
And she's the one. But this is so impressed me. It so impressed me. And another thing that impressed me, I got to tell you, is when you said the human brain is the only organ of the body that gets better with age.
Isn't that good?
It doesn't age. It just gets in chaos and weak, but it doesn't.
And it gets in chaos and weakness through incorrect use of our mind. So correct use of our mind increases its productivity. And all those qualities being read out, that you read out in Philippians 4:8, think on these things, that's what your brain is designed for. So as soon as you do what your brain is designed for, it's hand in hand with its correct original design. So that's why it heals quicker, because it actually, you're just going back into what the normal is. As we spoke in the last broadcast, is that we are wired for perfection. So when we do what God tells us to do, when we align and connect to the vine, which is life, as we know, then we will think correctly, and then our brain just does what it's supposed to do. So then that reorganizes all the damage, and it literally takes over that damage, and it wires that damage out. So the more, wherever you direct your mind, your brain simply follows. So if you direct your mind in the direction of what Philippians 4:8 says, it's powerful. That's mental health. That's how we get through mental ill health issues. That's how we wired for this whole concept that we're talking about in these over these 2 weeks of broadcast, is to show people who you really are and what your normal natural is, because we've been so lied to by the world about who we actually are. We think we're these broken machines, but we're not. We're these incredibly powerful. Why did God say we have a love power and a sound mind? So if love, power, and soundness is our norm, it means when we apply the principles of Philippians 4:8, immediately the neurotransmitters will flow in the correct way. The circuits will fire in the correct way. The different structures of the brain will fire up in response in the correct way, because that's their design. They're just doing what they've been told, what they've been designed to do. So we actually have to almost fight with our brain when we make wrong choices. So when we step out of our wired for love, perfectly you, that I call this gift in you that God has placed within us, that then causes that chaos in the brain. So the chemicals now flow incorrectly, and the circuits flow incorrectly, and you have glucose metabolism going wrong, and you have electromagnetic effects going wrong. All this sciencey stuff that God gave us to understand how incredible we are go wrong, because we've now not listened to God. We've now listened to the illusion of the enemy, and we've taken what is not real, and by thinking about it, we've made it real. And that's dangerous. That's simply, but then we can undo that, because you got there with your mind, you get out of that with your mind. But you won't believe that until you recognize that you have really got a love, power, and a sound mind. And what does that mean? What does that look like? You know, that's really what we need. People need to recognize that. Self-esteem is one of the most prominent problems in the world today. People just don't know who they are. Every scientist that is well, I can almost speak for almost every scientist that is searching for whatever it is that they are understanding and researching. If you ask them what is the main purpose of where you want to go with your research, they'll tell you all the sciencey stuff, and then they'll say, so we can help mankind, so we can understand who we are and where we came from and why we are here. So it's inbuilt into us, as it says in Romans, the desire to understand that this is not everything, that there's more than just what we see, that there's this incredible strength within each and every one of us. There's this incredible core. But we forget about that when we get so caught up in the worries of the world, you know, like the sower of the seed parable. We get so caught up in the worries of the world that we forget to spend time in the Word of God. Or we don't listen long enough. Mm-hmm. We don't read enough. We don't spend enough time on the good stuff. We spend too much time on the bad stuff. And wherever you are spending your time, you are learning, you are changing your brain, you are building networks, and whatever you build into your brain, that's what you will speak. You've created a communication pathology. You've created literally a pathology in your brain. Pathology means disease. It means trauma. It means brokenness. So, and then we speak from the brokenness. So our communication, our interaction, our relational situations become a pathology. And then that's this chaos in our mind. So now we're operating completely out of our nature, which is wired for love. We're now operating in this incorrect nature. And then we wonder at why we feel such incredible chaos. So we try and get order. And in trying to get order back, we do things. Like we'll do crazy things, like take drugs or get obsessed with things or get involved in pornography or start getting eating disorders. All these things that we do to try and get control back. And then that doesn't work and people get depressed. So you have this whole chaotic flow that comes out of this. Meanwhile, that's not what we designed for. We're wired for love. And in the midst of the worst place, we are still stronger than that bad place. Because science has also shown that all those bad decisions, even if you're in the worst place, because of your wired for love nature, because of the gift that God has placed within us to have this love, power, and sound mind, we can reach out to God and say, I don't want to be here anymore. And that decision is more powerful than 50 years, 60 years, 70 years of living in chaos.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Isn't that incredible? Yeah. Because that's the truth. And the truth will always set you free. And that truth has so much power in it that the minute you reach out and say, God, I don't want to be here anymore, forgive me. The minute we acknowledge and we bring it before God, we move it into our conscious mind, it becomes completely weakened and the power of God zaps in and we can start changing our life. And it's hard work, of course. It's not going to be easy, but it's there. It exists. It's a reality. The power of truth and of the Word of God is beyond the trauma. But we have to teach people to get an eternal perspective. We have to teach people to realize that when I'm in that bad place, when I'm in that chaos, when I'm going through life's events, that's not really who I am. That's who I've become. We have to teach people to stand back.
That's vital information. Okay. Say that again, please.
So when people are in that really bad place, where they think that this is all that life is, we have to stand back and say, that's not who I am. That's who I have become. So if I've become it, how did I get there? Through my reactions to the events and circumstances of life. So if my reactions weren't word-based, they were based on the enemy. You are either listening to God or you're listening to the enemy. There isn't any middle road. So if you're in chaos, it means you didn't listen properly. And we have to take responsibility for that and recognize I'm here because I got here through my own fault. And God doesn't condemn you for that. You condemn yourself. The enemy will come in and will say, you see, you bad person, and the church is telling you that you're sick because you've sinned and whatever. But it's the truth. Sin brings forth death. James 1:13-16. Mm-hmm. If you give birth to, I'm paraphrasing, but if you give birth to that deviant thought and you let it grow, it will bring forth death. That's what the Word of God says. And it's also what science says. If you grow a toxic thought, if you grow, it will kill you. It will wipe your brain out. It will wipe your body out. 75% to 98% of current mental, physical, and emotional illnesses today come from the way we are thinking. And as soon as we recognize, hey, that's not truth. That's not who I am. Who I am is wired for love. Who I am is perfection. I mean, God gives us the instruction in Matthew 5:48, seek after perfection as He is perfect. He's not playing around with us. He's saying seek after perfection, which means in this bad place, I can reach out to God and I can say, hey, that's not who I am.
I'm thinking about 2 Corinthians 10, 3, 4,
yeah,
5.
Yeah, bring all thoughts into captivity.
Casting down imagination. Yeah. The weapons of our warfare are not
carnal, but mighty for the
powerful, mighty through God.
Pulling down the strongholds.
Pulling down the strongholds.
These are the strongholds.
That's what has to happen.
And what impressed me, what you said there, in casting down imaginations, bringing into captivity
every thought. Every single thought.
Now, God didn't say, well, now, darling, I know this is hard to do. Now, I want you to really work hard at this now, and just I want you to do your best to capture every thought. Now, I know you probably won't, but no, He expects you to be perfect.
It's an instruction.
Because what you're using to replace the thoughts is perfect.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In the beginning was
God, your mind in Christ Jesus, as the Word
says. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is with God, and the Word was God, and God's perfect, and we're born of God.
Exactly. And that's where we need to start our everyday living, is from that standpoint.
Isn't that?
That's what this whole teaching we're talking about, that I've been trying to bring the science behind that, because I am so tired of seeing Christians that have got the answer walking around defeated and giving up because they don't know who they are in Christ. They don't understand what it means to be wired in love, wired for love and wired in perfection. Because when you come from that standpoint, you have the wisdom to resist what the enemy is throwing at you. You can see through the lies, how he's manipulated the medical system, how he's manipulated the food system, how he's manipulated the mental health system, through illusions, through convincing people. So we have the answer. But people need to look at us and say, I'll have what he's having. I'll have what she's having. But they're not doing that. The church is not presenting a picture of love sufficiently because we don't know who we are. So if we can try and teach people to recognize what wired for love really means, and to recognize that I can stand back and observe that part of my life and realize, hey, that's not who I am, and I can actually fix that and change that, that's powerful. And how do you change it? You apply the Word of God. You use the power.
You renew your mind.
You pull down those strongholds, and that's mind work. That is you going with God. And what really strikes me as so vitally important and very interesting is that we are actually designed to be addicted to God. So we have an addictive nature built into us, and that addictive nature is one of wired for love. We are addicted to love. We are addicted to perfection because we are made in His image. So our core of us is calling out for this love, this desire to do all these good things. So when we don't do that, then we upset that natural calling that God has laid down within us. And that's why He says bring all thoughts so that we don't have these little things creeping in that pull us down.
I was amazed years and years ago when we first got into this ministry. I heard Brother Hagin talking about 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Well, everybody's interested in that, but our idea of humility was self-debasement.
Yes.
And that's not what, and that scripture says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, casting all your care
upon Him.
On Him.
Yeah.
And he began to talk about that, and he said, this phrase just captivated me, and here we are 48 years later, and I'm still doing the same thing.
Still doing the same thing.
I still hear that phrase in my heart and mind that he said back there those many years ago. He said, I refuse to touch that with my thought life.
Oh, lovely. So good.
Isn't that powerful?
That's so
good. Because that thought comes up, man, what am I going to do? No. Whoa. I have cast that care over on you, Father, and I'm not touching that with my thought life. I fix my mind on the truth here, and the truth is I don't have that care.
Exactly, because you've cast it on Him. If you haven't and kept it, you've sinned. And if you keep it, you create brain damage and you create illness and
now,
you create
chaos. Now, the problem is people don't know what sin is.
No, because they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to acknowledge. Sin causes
a problem. Sin is this, thing about, you know.
You mustn't talk about it or whatever.
And it has had so much religion attached
exactly.
to it that people don't know what God was actually talking about when he
yes,
talked about sin.
Yes, I agree
sin.
With you.
And
it's not just adultery and murder.
No.
And really,
exactly.
Really, yeah. adultery and murder is disobedience to God. Because
yeah,
he said, don't do that.
It is a sin, but that's...
But there's a lot more to it
but
than
see,
that.
But see, that... Yeah. The sin that so easily besets us
yeah.
in Hebrews 12.
12, yeah.
It says get rid of that.
Exactly.
The sin that so easily besets you is thinking things God said don't think.
Exactly. You're either there or you're there. You're either operating with God or you're operating with the enemy. There is no middle road. Sin is voluntary.
Yes, it is.
It's voluntary.
And
no one forces you to
And
sin.
You can't sin for somebody else.
No. It's your own thing.
It's you.
Exactly.
And there's pressure in it. But the big problem is not knowing or having any understanding of why what you're doing is causing sickness and disease and
that's
and,
where science
and
is so
all
good.
That. It's yeah. and religion relegated it to God putting it on you for some
yes.
reason or other. Or on the other hand, the devil putting it on you for some reason
but
or other.
But he doesn't have any power, he can't do that.
Not unless you give him place.
Exactly. So that means you still do
that.
It.
Here we are in
you
the middle.
It.
We are the we.
Exactly.
We are the deciding witness.
Exactly.
Out of the mouth of two witnesses, let a thing be established.
Exactly.
We're the deciding witness.
Exactly. It's two witnesses.
God is a witness.
And the
devil is a
witness. And if you agree with either, you create and then you live for
You're
that.
The deciding witness.
Yeah.
That's what's established.
Exactly.
What you thought was established.
Mm.
That is, that's
so
it's just awesome thoughts.
Mm.
It's so simple.
It is simple. We've made something that's very
yeah.
simple, very religious, very complex, and it's very confusing. And it's not confusing. It's very simple.
Yes, it is. My goodness. We're out of time already.
Oh.
We're going to get us a bigger clock, man. That's what we got to do.
So. Stop time. Let's pray to stop time.
Amen. We'll be back in just a moment.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.